This is the Everyday AI Show, the everyday podcast where we simplify AI and bring its power to your fingertips. Listen daily for practical advice to boost your career, business, and everyday life.
Is Microsoft's Vasa 1 deepfake model so good that it's dangerous? Do we need this technology? Should we be avoiding it? Or should we actually be rushing toward its development and adoption? We're going to be talking about that today and more on Everyday AI. What's going on, y'all? My name is Jordan Wilson, and I'm the host of Everyday AI, and we are your daily guide to learning and leveraging Gen AI to grow your company and to grow your career. So yes, we do this every day. It is live. It is unscripted. And we are a daily live stream podcast and free daily newsletter helping us all. So we're going to get to that in just a second. But if you're, whether you're driving on the car or joining us live, make sure if you haven't already, go to youreverydayai.com and sign up for our free daily newsletter. And on our website, it's like a free generative AI university. So hundreds, literally, of back episodes that you can go and watch and learn anything that you want. All right. So before we talk about Microsoft's new Vasa 1 deepfake AI technology, and I've got some takes on this, y'all. But before we get into it, let's start as we do every single day with the AI news. Some big stories today. So Adobe has introduced some Gen AI upgrades to Photoshop with its new Firefly V3 update. So Adobe has unveiled some new generative AI upgrades to Photoshop, including the new generate image feature powered by the new Firefly Image 3 AI model. So users can generate images directly within Photoshop by typing a text prompt or selecting from preset options. So the addition of generate image aims to help new users overcome that empty page feeling and unleash their creativity. Adobe also enhanced the generative fill feature, allowing users to add a reference image, super helpful, for guided image generation. So a lot of these kind of quote-unquote newer features that we were seeing in Midjourney are now making their way to Adobe Firefly. And all of these new features are available in the latest Photoshop beta app for desktop at $22.99 a month. Very specific price there, Adobe. So our next piece of AI news, we got all heavy hitters today. So we go from Adobe to Google. Google has consolidated their AI teams under DeepMind to strengthen their AI portfolio. So Google is consolidating its teams, focusing on AI model development across research and DeepMind divisions. So responsible AI teams, emphasizing safe AI development, are being relocated from research, from Google Research to Google DeepMind to enhance proximity to AI model building and scaling. So this move from Google, pretty big actually, but it comes amidst increasing global concerns about AI safety and calls for technology regulation. So not just that, but we also just saw about a month ago, Microsoft kind of create its new division, Microsoft AI, and kind of took a lot of the AI development and put it under that arm. So we're seeing a similar approach from Google here, which I think is smart, right? DeepMind is, I think, one of the leaders in the world when it comes to ability. So I think it's great that Google is moving its entire AI efforts under DeepMind. Last but not least, we go from Adobe to Google to Microsoft. So Microsoft has introduced its Phi 3 mini model, a new small model that can run locally on phones. So apparently Llama's reign didn't last too long, but Microsoft has launched the first of three small AI models, Phi. I think it's Phi. Is it Phi or Pi? Does anyone know? But I believe it's Phi 3 Mini that are meant to be more affordable and efficient for personal devices. So it performs similarly to larger models, but with fewer parameters and is trained using a curriculum strategy. So Microsoft did emphasize the quality of its training input versus quantity. So just much higher quality, which is, you know, allowing it to be a much smaller model with still very impressive benchmarks. So the company also plans to release Phi 3 small and Phi 3 medium with 7 billion parameters and 14 billion parameters respectively. So the mini model is 3.8 billion parameters, and it is reportedly already outperforming Meta's Llama 3 8 billion. So that's important to know there, a 3.8 billion parameter model outperforming Meta's shiny new 8 billion parameter, as well as reportedly out benchmarking Google's Gemma 7B and Mistral 7B models on in the MMLU benchmark. So, wow, a lot of AI news for today. We're going to be breaking down those stories in a lot more depth in our newsletter. So make sure you go to youreverydayai.com. So let's get to the topic of today. Today's Hot Take Tuesday. Is Microsoft's Vesa 1 deepfake AI tech so good that it's dangerous? So I'm going to start and just give you the answer because maybe you don't have time. Yes, it is too good for public consumption right now. I need to tell people this. One thing I do here at Everyday AI is I look at literally almost every single piece of major new AI technology. I've used hundreds of pieces of AI software over the years. The Vesa 1 is by far one of the most impressive that I've ever seen, right? Compare it up there with probably OpenAI Sora. And we'll just put everything under one roof, but just kind of this under one roof. But I would say the emergence of internet's connected large language models, right? So those are the three things that I've been most impressed with. So the internet connectivity of large language models, OpenAI Sora, and this new Microsoft Vesa. So it is not available yet. All right. So we're going to take a close look. We're going to do a breakdown, and I'm also going to tell you seven things that you need to know about this model. But just as a reminder, this is for you all, right? So in our newsletter yesterday, I asked what you guys wanted for today's Hot Take Tuesday. You all said this, but I'm also curious, you know, for our live stream audience, are you worried about AI deepfakes? Let me know. Or also if you're listening on the podcast, I always love reading emails. I keep, our email in there, my LinkedIn. So connect with me, but I want to know from you, are you kind of are you not very worried? Are you more excited? Are you kind of worried, kind of excited? Are you more worried than excited, or are you just pretty worried, right? So I'm curious where our live stream audience stands on this, right? If I had to choose, I would say I'm probably C. I'm probably more worried than excited overall. And don't worry, we're going to break this down, but I'm really curious where our live stream audience, it seems like a lot of people are kind of worried, but kind of excited, you know, which is interesting. And hey, Douglas, I love this. Douglas is currently in the air. Douglas, you might be the first person joining Everyday AI from tens of thousands of feet in the air. So thanks for that. So, you know what Michael said here, and we're going to get into this. He said it's already difficult to tell what is real and what's not. Even with this knowledge of the tools. Absolutely. Michael, I think that's a great point, and that's something that we're going to be talking about here on today's show. So let's just go into it. Let me just tell you exactly what this new Vesa model is. And again, if some of my friends from Microsoft tell me, is it Vesa or Vesa, right? That's the only thing with all these models that get released. Everyone's, you know, pronouncing them differently until, you know, someone from Microsoft goes on an interview and tells us all, but we'll just call it Vesa for now. So here is what Vesa is. And then we're going to give you all a live look and a live listen for our podcast audience as well. So essentially it is a deepfake technology, right? Whether you want to call it that or not, this is Hot Take Tuesday. I'm saying it like it is. This is a deepfake technology. There's a big difference between a digital twin or a digital clone or a AI avatar versus deepfake technology, right? So essentially what this boils down to is this new Vesa 1 research paper from Microsoft. Again, it's not public, it's not out, right? But you can go look at the results, but it allows you to take any image and a voice and create a talking head, more or less, right? There's obviously great applications, which we're going to be talking about, but I'd say right now the danger of this far outweighs the potential benefits, right? This is one of those AI tools where I'm like, okay, is this a solution, quote unquote, looking for a problem? Maybe it is, maybe it's not. And again, I think there's great positives, there's great plus sides to this, but the biggest difference between deepfake technology and, you know, digital twin or AI avatar technology is its use cases, right? And for the most part, and we're going to talk about this, but there's great kind of digital twin or, AI avatar platforms out there, but they don't wield this much power, right? Where you can literally take any face and make it say anything you want in a very realistic voice with eerily similar movements to a human being, right? So let's just, you know, instead of me trying to spend, you know, another 10 minutes describing this, let's just go ahead. Let's take a look at this technology in action. Okay. So if you're on the podcast now, so what we're doing here is we're going through the research paper. So we shared this yesterday, actually, in our AI News That Matters Monday recap, as well as I think last week. So if you haven't taken a look at this yet, I encourage you to do so. All right. So I'm just going to go ahead. I'm going to play one or two samples. And again, for our podcast audience, I'm going to try to do my best to explain what's going on here. But again, as a reminder, all this is a single image, a single audio clip, and then the user, again, this isn't public, but then the user has control over a lot of different things, what Microsoft is calling control signals. All right, so let's just go ahead. We're going to watch maybe 10-second clips of a couple of these. So here is the first one. So let's just go ahead, take a watch, take a listen.
If you plan to go for a run and you don't have enough time to do a full run, do part of a run. If you plan to go to the gym today, but you don't have the full hour that you normally work out, do some push-ups.
The crazy thing about that one is it looks like it is in maybe intentionally adding this like staticky background noise, which makes it seem even more human and realistic because not all of these voices have that. All right, let's go ahead and watch and listen to a couple more. Again, you know, if you are joining on the podcast, it shows you the single image that this was created with, and then you can click play and watch and listen. And all of this is generated through this VASA one model.
Surprises me still. I ran it on someone just last night. It was fascinating. You know, she had complained of shoulder like pain in her arm. It was excruciating.
Do you hear that? The tone changes, the hesitation, right? Almost like sometimes I know I stutter on the show, or I, you know, kind of mutter and, you know, go off on these little side tangents. Like they're doing this as well, which is crazy. Just the varied inflection in the voice, the cadence changes. So number one, even if this was a text to speech software, I'd be like, whoa, okay, that's pretty impressive, right? Like we talk like 11 labs quality already, maybe even better off the bat, which is pretty impressive. So now let's just listen to one more. And then I want to know from you all, what are your thoughts on this, right? And if you do have questions, please get them in. But let's just go ahead and watch and listen to one more example. And then I'm going to show you some of these advanced capabilities that I think actually make this a little scary. All right, let's go ahead and listen to this one.
But you can imagine I have a lot of questions. So I'd love to begin with you firstly, just because I read that you started out in advertising and now you run a wellness business.
All right. So yeah, you're kind of seeing where this is going, right? With that example there. Some more on that in a second. Okay. So now I want to talk a little bit about some of these additional features. So this one here, and for our podcast audience, essentially you can set the eye gaze in different directions. So you have, you know, there's going to be four kind of videos playing at once with only one piece of audio with the eyes going in different ways. Ready?
I would say that we as readers are not meant to look at him in any other way but with disdain.
Okay, that's extremely impressive. One voice, and this I cannot emphasize enough for our podcast audience. Check your show notes. You can come back and watch this on LinkedIn or YouTube or, you know, wherever. You have to see this. If you haven't seen it yet, you need to understand the quality. I cannot emphasize enough. This looks extremely human. All right, so now we have one more example, and then this is showing kind of different sizes of the head, right? So you can have kind of a super close-up or something that's a little more wide. So here we go with this one.
But you can imagine I have a lot of questions. So I'd love to begin with you.
And then you can see, obviously, different voices for the same image, right? different languages, right? So now let's go, and this is probably the one that's, you know, kind of taken off and gone viral on social media. But this is also important to note about the training data and the training set. So I kind of wish Microsoft told us a little bit more about what it trained on. However, it did say that a lot of these capabilities are on, obviously, generative, right? They're generative. So it's not like, oh, it's been trained on, you know, 1 million fake faces. No, this is generative. So you can create, obviously, faces and videos that obviously did not exist in the training set. So this is some, I'd say that's a worrying piece of it, but still impressive, right? I keep personally being torn between this is extremely troublesome versus this opens up so many doors and is extremely exciting. But let's just go ahead. So this is probably the one that's kind of taken over the internet because it's also works of art. So yes, you know, the examples that I've played so far look extremely realistic, extremely human. And we're going to break this down in a more detailed level. But here we have the Mona Lisa singing and rapping. Let's take a listen, take a watch.
Yo, I'm a paparazzi. I don't play no Yahtzee. I go pop, 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 pop. My camera's up your crotch. See, I tell the truth from what I see and sell it to Perez Hilton. Don't call me scuzzy. Making money, that's my job. Celeb photography. What? Hell no, I'm not needy. I'm legit, not stalkerazzi.
Wild. It's wild, right? I can't explain the level of detail in the faces, right? I've watched some of these clips over and over and over. As someone that's, you know, on camera every single day, I see this. I see the power of this. And this is something that, you know, and we're going to draw the line here between deepfakes and, you know, digital twins or AI avatars. And the level of detail in the face, right? Eyes going in and out, eyebrows rising, you know, wrinkles, right? Wrinkles in your crow's feet area, right? In the corner of your eyes. You know, all of these traits that we feel are uniquely human and have never been touched by current AI technology, no longer, right? Which is what makes this both so scary and so incredibly promising if used correctly. All right, let's just look at, we're going to look at just two more quick examples here. So this one goes to show, so we have the same voice in three completely different faces, right? So this is where you start, maybe you saw the first ones where it's just one person talking at a time and you're like, oh, this is great. You know, I don't see really a problem with this until you see, okay, here's three people, you know, three unique faces and one piece of audio.
Well, prevent those cavities from getting worse and prevent new cavities. Just because you treat cavities, it doesn't mean they can't get cavities in any other tooth. Or
so that's wild. So in this one, you have, you know, three different women, three different ethnicity, three different ages, you know, talking about cavities. Maybe I should listen to them and then I'd be able to spend more time on everyday AI and less time at the dentist. But still, this is one of those where I think most people will see that and get worried. This is one where the marketing and the advertising part of my brain is just going off, right? Because you're like, oh, wow, now you can quickly A-B test, right? You can quickly, you know, put a bunch of these videos on your website and see which one's resonating the most with your target audience, right? And to be able to do that at quickly and at scale is wildly exciting about the type of possibilities that this opens up. But obviously it's troubling. It's troubling, right? So the last one that we're going to look at here, and then I'm going to tell you seven things that you need to know and get to your questions. So if you do have questions, please drop them in now. So the last one that I'm going to show here for our podcast audience, this essentially just gives you different controls. So in this video, it's going to show the different controls that you have. So it's things that if you are a video editor, you're probably familiar with these. So things like pitch and roll and X axis and Y axis, gaze, right? So not all, it's not just random, right? You have so much fine-tuned control. And again, all it takes is a single image, a single piece of audio, and you have all of these controls. So when I hit play here, you're going to see, you know, presumably this is a researcher at Microsoft who's, you know, kind of recording their screen as they're doing this, but you can have such fine-tuned control over this, you know, deep fake clone here, changing every aspect of it. So let's take a watch and a listen, and I might narrate on this one as well, or hit pause.
Hey, this is Jordan, the host of Everyday AI. I've spent more than 1,000 hours inside ChatGPT, and I'm sharing all of my secrets in our free Prime Prompt Polish ChatGPT course that's only available to loyal listeners like you. Here's what Lindy, who works as an educational consultant, said about the PPP course.
I couldn't figure out why I wasn't getting the results from ChatGPT that I needed and wanted. And after taking the PPP course, I now realized that I was not priming correctly. So I will be heading back into ChatGPT right now to practice my priming, prompting, and polishing.
Everyone's prompting wrong, and the PPP course fixes that. If you want access, go to podppp.com. Again, that's podppp.com. Sign up for the free course and start putting ChatGPT to work for you.
So I decided to focus all my attention, all my time on listening. So instead of doing something else, I just listen.
All right. So right there, we switched to now we went from a presumably female speaking to now presumably a male speaking, even though it sounds like a female, right? So just with the click of a button, didn't have to regenerate, didn't have to rebuffer. That's another thing we're going to talk about is the latency reportedly on Vasa 1 is amazing in near real time.
Listened. Because I'm a true believer that if you're really bad at something like listening, for example, it only shows you that, hey, you have to practice.
Okay, so now what's happening is someone just put in a new kind of script, right? And I believe that they're going to show this generating in real time. And then this is what I want to kind of talk to everyone about and show everyone.
Listening as much as you can.
We introduce Vasa, a framework for generating lifelike talking faces with appealing.
There we go, right there. So now we are seeing something that makes this, again, both awesome and frightening. So what the user, presumably a Microsoft researcher, because according to Microsoft, that's all that really has access to it right now. In real time, they are generating new scripts, swiping between the different faces, right? So again, they're going from, as an example, male, female, young, old, same voice in real time, but also they are dragging and dropping on the face that is speaking. And then what they're doing is they're adjusting kind of the angle of the face. And I cannot explain how much power, how much computing power this would generally take, right? And this is, again, happening in real time, no buffer. And then they're going to be moving this face around. I'm going to play this for just a couple more seconds.
Visual effective skills, given a single static image and a speech audio clip.
So I'll tell you this, as someone in a previous life that did a lot of videography, that did a lot of, I put together a lot of stories. And so many times you would have to have maybe two or three cameras because you want to catch these different angles, right? Wow, all of a sudden you don't need that anymore. You have infinite angles, infinite people, and they can say whatever you want. And it looks pretty realistic. So we're going to get why that's a problem, but also extremely powerful, right? All right. So I told everyone that I'd give you 7 things that you need to know. Great question here from Tanya. So Tanya, thanks for the question, saying, if it's something we don't want to listen to, does it matter if it's real or fake? That's a great question. And also it's like, okay, when or if the world gets access to this, all right? But I don't think that that's going to actually be an issue, because regardless of what Microsoft does, I think that we're going to be seeing this technology, whether we want to the public to have it or not. Cecilia with a great observation here, saying the facial expressions in the last two were scary real. Yes, they were. All right. So let's go ahead. Let's go over the 7 things that you need to know about Vasa 1. Okay. So again, a quick recap of what it is and what it does. So it is deepfake. That's what it is, right? It is deepfake real time. So that's another thing that they talk about in the paper, how little processing power it actually requires, right? You don't need a $30,000 GPU. It's a commercial of what Microsoft is saying. It's a commercial grade graphics card. So it is near real time. So what that means is, in theory, you might be talking to this person on a Zoom sales call and it looks extremely realistic, right? It only needs one photo and a source of audio. You have these kind of post-processing controls. It is very realistic head movements, controllable motion. And again, the human-like tendencies that this captures is amazing. You know, right now it's only, I believe 512 by 512 pixels. So it's not, you know, HD quality or 2K or 4K quality yet, but I think that's probably where it's heading. Another thing that you need to know about this, I can almost guarantee that this VASA model, whether they're actually on 2 now or on a next iteration, right? It takes time to get your paper approved. It takes time, you know, to kind of go up the corporate ladder and say, are we going to release this? Is the world ready for this? So in theory, this technology could be 6 months old. It could be 18 months old. We don't know, right? They could already be on VASA 2.5 that does 4K even faster. We don't know. All we know is that this is not today's technology. It has presumably already been greatly improved. All right, so that's number one. That's just a quick overview of what it is. Number two, VASA 1 is not released yet. All right, so Microsoft did say that they do not want to release this to the public until they feel it is safe to use. But hey, here's Hot Take Tuesday coming out. When would this be safe? That's an honest question. I don't know, live stream audience, what do you think? When would this ever be safe? Again, I understand the upsides. I understand the overwhelmingly positive impact this could have on society. But is there a scenario where this is actually safe to put this especially in the hands of the public? Again, I don't know. Are they going to have certain safeguards? You know, as an example, is it maybe you can't upload your own photo? Maybe you can only use their preset, you know, photos or, you know, AI generated. I don't know, right? There's so many unknowns. There's not a lot of knowns. The research paper is not very long. And again, this isn't available, right? So if this ever does become available, it could in theory be robustly even more powerful, or it could be stripped down from, you know, what we just saw. So we don't know, but it is not released yet. But they're also not the only one, right? So China's Baidu. Gosh, I always forget, guys. I say so many names that I forget pronunciations. But China's Baidu also had a similar model called EMO, E-M-O. I don't think it was nearly as impressive. It was about 6 months ago. So they probably have, or maybe not six, maybe it was about 3 months ago. But they already have, I'm sure they already have a newer version. But regardless, even though this is not released yet, and Microsoft said that, you know, they didn't necessarily detail plans on when or if it would be released. They said that they need to ensure that this is safe. I don't see a scenario where this is safe. Sorry. I don't. I think there's way more potential for misuse than there is for positive use cases. Again, I think this is a very cool solution looking for a problem, but I don't think it matters, right? I don't think, you know, it's not like Microsoft is the decision maker on this. Like we said, there's already been a pretty impressive variation of this with China's Baidu, their EMO model. So I think whether Microsoft releases this to the public or not, there is going to be another company, whether it's Google DeepMind, whether it's, you know, someone we've never heard of creating this. All right, number three thing you need to know. Similar technology is already public, right? And again, this is where we kind of have to differentiate between what is a deepfake versus what's a digital twin. So there's already great platforms. So as an example, Synthesia, HeyGen, Hour One, DID, etc., where you can already create a digital twin. For the most part, there's two sides of this. So one is, yes, you can create one of yourself, right? You can, you know, green screen setup, record yourself, different angles, all that. But that is a much more detailed process, right? I'm actually have a secret project that I'm working on that I'll probably tell you guys about soon. I love that part of the technology, right? Where if you wanted to, right? So let's just say you're head of HR, you're head of learning and development, and you can only do so much, right? Okay, well, what if for controlled purposes and, you know, in, generally you have to sign a lot of documents and, you know, there's a process to go through in creating a digital avatar. But I like that aspect of it, right? Imagine if you're in charge of learning and development at a huge company and you don't have enough time to train people. Maybe you want to train people on AI, but you don't have the time. Okay, there's a cool use case. So this technology is already, similar technology is already available in these kind of digital twin or AI avatar spaces, Synthesia, HeyGen, Hour One, DID, there's a couple others, right? But it is not nearly as powerful. And maybe these companies made it that way, right? Maybe they said, we don't want it to be, you know, you can go choose literally any photo, make it say anything, although you have a little bit of that, but it doesn't look as realistic. So this new Microsoft research paper, Vasa 1, and the examples are, they look so human. It is scary. As someone that's watched, you know, uncountable amount of, you know, these new products with these digital avatars, you know, for the most part, you can tell that they're digital. You can tell that they're AI, which I think is actually a good thing when it doesn't look too realistic, because then you start to, yeah, blur this line between what's real and what's fake. All right, number four. Vasa 1's quality is outstanding. So like I said, the realism is uncanny, and the control for deepfakes right now is something that is not publicly available. So even as an example, the different zooming in and zooming out of, you know, where you want the head, the eyes looking in different directions, you know, being able to click on something in real time and, you know, essentially generate all these different angles of someone talking live. The quality and the realism is outstanding. Again, I'm sure that there's already a 1.5 or a V2 that researchers are already building that's way better. That's HD. That's even faster. That requires even less compute. All right, thing number five you need to know. There are so many positive use cases for Vasa 1. Yes, we talked about the negatives, but training, personalized learning and development, helping to break down communication barriers. That's a great one, right? People that have certain learning disabilities or cognitive impairments, right? This technology could be extremely helpful. Maybe there's people out there that, you know, don't learn well or can't understand things without, you know, really looking at a person, speak it to them, right? Or maybe they just learn better. So I think that there's so many positive use cases that can change the world in a good way, can help society, right? So obviously I can't overlook that. But number six, is it so good it's bad? Sorry, this technology is so good. I just think it's bad. You know, and I am the type of person that loves deploying AI out in the wild, right? If I had a client, right, and they said, hey, Jordan, we want to start, you know, doing all this with this Vasa model. Again, it's not openly available. It's not public. I would say, are you sure? Are you sure you want to? Right? Again, maybe, you know, I think a lot of times I think that spending time doing this every single day that, you know, I'm personally, quote unquote, ahead of the AI curve. And maybe this is just, you know, old school and me, you know, old man Wilson shaking his fist on the porch saying, this new technology, right? I don't know. I don't know about this one, right? It gets to, especially when we talk about misinformation, disinformation, right? I said yesterday, but, you know, imagine this before the US election. Imagine if you could, right? And again, the technology's there, but it's not good anywhere else and it takes a long time. Imagine if this was available now. Imagine if someone could take your photo and make you say anything. Again, we don't know when and if this is released, what the capabilities are. You know, I'm not saying that that is going to be a feature or an option in this model or others, but that's where this technology is heading. And whether, you know, I guess it's luckily a company like Microsoft who I think is doing things in a pretty ethical and responsible manner. But I can guarantee you that this technology very soon will be replicated by bad actors, right? Big tech companies, what, right? It could be other countries using this for disinformation, and maybe we just don't know. So I do think it's important to talk about this, to have a conversation. And yes, as excited as we could be and say, oh, I want to use this for, you know, this project and say, okay, wait, do we really need that? Because I do think at least early on, the potential for it being bad far outweighs the potential for it doing more good. Just because I think the overwhelming majority of people, maybe not you, right? Like if you're tuning in here every single day, right? If you are someone that's using generative AI every single day, I think you probably have a little bit better of an understanding of how this could be properly used in society and how maybe the good could outweigh the bad. But you are in the 1%. You're in the 0.1%, right? If you're tuning in here every day, if you're pushing generative AI use at your company, right? You are still in the minority, you know, because 99.9% of people that would see something like this would not know. And that just poses so many implications. And then last but not least, I think if nothing else, Vasa One is going to prepare us for a new normal. Whether we want this or not, it's coming. You know, I know that's weird. It's weird to say whether you like it or not, this is coming. Again, maybe not Microsoft, maybe not, you know, these other companies that I named. But there's going to be maybe unnamed companies. This is going to happen. We are going to see deepfakes that are so incredibly realistic of people like you and me, whether we give them our consent or not. This is where the technology is heading. No, I'm not a doomsday AI prepper. You know, I'm not being, you know, freaking out here on the Everyday AI show. I'm being realistic. We technically, the average person, does not get a say in where this technology heads. And the capabilities and the power of what we've seen in this Vasa model, I think will unfortunately inspire bad actors. So we have to understand that whether we want this technology to exist or not, it probably is going to, right? And I think that's an important conversation to have. So let me know. What are your thoughts? Is this good? Is it bad? Again, we don't know if we're going to see Vasa One in the public, but what are your thoughts? And a quick recap, right? Here's the 7 things you need to know. So what Vasa One is, it is a deepfake technology. 1, photo, 1, video, tons of control. 2, it is not released yet. Microsoft said it wants it to be safe. We don't actually know if they'll even release it. 3, similar technology is already public. So we have the digital twins and AI avatars from companies like Synthesia, HeyGen, Hour One, DID, et cetera. But then we also have very similar technology like China's Baidu from the Emo model from Baidu. 4, the quality is outstanding. You cannot tell. I mean, you literally cannot tell by looking at it. I'm staring at it on a HD screen. You can't tell. It is uncanny. 5, there's so many positive use cases for this technology: training, learning, and development, helping breaking down communication barriers. 6, I think it's so good, it's bad. The potential for misinformation and disinformation, political campaigns, personally, I think that there's maybe more bad than good. And 7, I think this prepares us for a new normal. Again, maybe Vasa One is just putting this all on our radars. Maybe this will never become public. Maybe this is where it stops. But this is not where this story ends of AI deepfakes. All right, y'all. I hope this was helpful. Like what Moses says, it's good, but all things can eventually get used for evil. I agree. This is important to have a conversation. So, hey, if you're listening on the podcast, make sure to check out your show notes. Let's keep the conversation going. You know, if you're joining on LinkedIn, YouTube, wherever, I think there's a ton of very smart people listening in. talk with each other. I think this is an important conversation to have. So thank you for tuning in. Make sure to join us tomorrow. We're going to talk about generative AI, how you can turn trash into treasures with James Daniel, the VP of AI from Lonza Tech, as well as Thursday. Oh my gosh, can you guys believe we've been doing this for a year? We're still here. We're still around. Thank you for that. So we are celebrating our 1 year anniversary of the Everyday AI Show. By doing this, we are going to go back and redo our very first show. Our very first show posed the question, will AI take our jobs? So 1 year later, we're going to ask that same question. I think it's just like today's conversation. I think it's an important we don't like to talk about that. We don't like to talk about the downside of AI. We like to talk about, oh, I used, ChatGPT to do this. And, I gained back all this time. That's great. But we have to talk about the hard questions. That's what we do on Everyday AI. Thanks for tuning in. If this was helpful, let me know. Please consider leaving us a rating, sharing this. If you're listening on social media, hit that repost. It takes us sometimes 10, 15 hours to put together one single episode. It takes you 10 to 15 seconds to repost this, share this with your network, tag your friends. Thank you for tuning in. Go to youreverydayai.com for more. Hope to see you back tomorrow and every day for more Everyday AI. Thanks, y'all.
And that's a wrap for today's edition of Everyday AI. Thanks for joining us. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe and leave us a rating. It helps keep us going. For a little more AI magic, visit youreverydayai.com and sign up to our daily newsletter so you don't get left behind. Go break some barriers, and we'll see you next time.